Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interests of others. And that's what Christ did when he came and gave his life for us. He put away selfish ambition. He had no selfish ambition. He didn't do anything that he did out of pride. And he put other people's interest above his own, that he went to the cross and suffered.
If we want to love like Jesus, Philippians chapter 2 has some key truths we need. Jesus put others' interests above his own. He was a servant. He was beautiful humility. We're in our series through Philippians titled Authentic Joy. With more on our study from Philippians 2, 1 through 11, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. These passages are telling us that God wants us to humble ourselves and that he will lift us up for his reasons and for his purposes. I've got to believe it's not the same as selfish ambition. God's not saying this is a new way to get to selfish ambition. It's like the disciples, learn to be a servant and you'll be the greatest in the kingdom of God. But you're going to be a servant. You won't be that lording over the people, you'll be a servant. And when you humble yourself and God exalts you, there's still a humility that is in your life. The second thing is that humility is one of those things that is required by God. Not only are we Christ-like when we are humble, Jesus, think about who he is. One day we will see him. Probably the most favorite song for any church in the last 10 years has been I Can Only Imagine, right? By Mercy Me. The idea of really seeing Jesus. And it helps us when we're singing that song to think, seeing the Lamb of God, seeing the creator of the universe, seeing Jesus, what will I do when I see him? And I always say, I know what you're gonna do. You're gonna fall down on your face. That's what you're gonna do. That's what we're all gonna do. It's really not a mystery what's going to happen to us. But Jesus came to this earth and humbled himself and was stripped naked to do the work that God called him to do. He genuinely humbled himself. And this is required of God for us. In Micah 6:8, it says, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justly means you treat people right. These three things are required. You treat people right. You don't mistreat people. That's number one. Number two, that you love mercy. That when someone does something and you have an opportunity to show them mercy, when they've hurt you or they've talked about you or they've torn you down and you have an opportunity to show them mercy, we are to love that. Love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. Psalms 25:9 says, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble, he teaches his ways. Such an important truth. If you are struggling with doubts, first of all, if you're struggling with doubts at all, I just want you to know, welcome to the club. There's not a Christian alive, I don't believe, that has never had any doubts. And you don't have to get rid of all doubts before you believe. Do you remember the man, I think he had a son who was, I think, demon-possessed, and the disciples couldn't cast the demon out. And so when Jesus showed up, the man said to Jesus, if you can help me, would you? If you can help me? He's asking him, but he's got this if in there. And Jesus said to him, all things are possible if you believe. And do you remember the man's response? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And Jesus delivered his son. I think that's an honest position for all of us. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I think there's honest positions there. But I also believe that when we humble ourselves, if you are prideful and you're searching out those doubts, then you're not going to be revealed to by God. But if you are humble, when you're searching out those doubts, that's what it says here, and the humble, he teaches his ways. If you have doubts and you want to know what the truth is, then humbly approach it to find the answers to those. Sometimes people will ask me questions about God, and there's a little bit of a pride to it as they do. Why did God kill all the Canaanites in the land and didn't give the land to Israel? Well, maybe you ought to have a little different attitude towards God because God's scary. And maybe you ought to go something like, I don't understand why God gave Israel the land and drove out and killed the Canaanites. That causes me some heartburn and some trouble. I don't understand it. And by the way, if you have that problem, you're not the only one that has that problem. A lot of people have those kind of struggles. But when you begin to seek God humbly, you have a better chance of really gaining an understanding. It's just one of the benefits from being humble. So humility is something that is required by God, required to discover the truth, required because we walk with God. The third thing is that God is on the side of the humble. But he gives, James 4:6 says, but he gives grace, more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And another version says, God is against the prideful, but is on the side of the humble. God is actually for you when you are humble and against you when you are prideful. That's why pride in the life of a Christian is untenable. You just can't have it. If you do, here you are a Christian, you're called by God, you've surrendered by God, you have eternity, and then God begins to be against you because of the pride that is in your life. And God will humble you, right? Pride comes before a fall, which is really the fourth one here, which is pride comes before destruction. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And I have one more. You are never more like Satan than when you are prideful. That was the original sin, was pride. And Satan looked at God in all of his glory, looked at himself, a creation, but pretty spectacular, and said, I'm going to exalt myself above the throne of God. I'm going to be, listen to what he says in Isaiah 14, 13 and 14. This is Satan. For you have said in your heart, God says to him, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High God. It's the same thing he said to Eve. God knows in the day you eat it, you will be like God. People today say, we are God. It's the same temptation that happened to him. And so do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Nothing at all. The third thing that he tells us is in the rest of verse 3, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. It goes on to explain this, which is important for us. The Bible says, let no one think more of himself than he ought to. So there's a real danger that we would think higher of ourselves than we should. It would be better to think lower, although a good balance of really knowing who we are genuinely is a strong place to be. So in loneliness of mind, we esteem others better than ourselves. We consider people to be better than us, not consider us to be better than them. I'm not quite sure what movie it is, but I've seen enough of it around to know, right? I think it's Ron Burgundy from, what's the movie? Anchorman, okay? And I think there's a line. I keep on saying I think because I'm not quite sure. I should have looked it up. But there's a line, I think, that he says, I don't know if you know, but I'm a pretty big deal. And I've heard Christians say things like that before. I've heard pastors say, do you know who I am? And you think, those words should never come out of a pastor's mouth, ever. Do you know who I am? Yeah, you're the servant, right? That's what word minister is. It's a servant. You're like a table waiter. That's what you are, right? To the body of Christ. That's the position God's given you. So we are to esteem others better than ourselves. This just means we reevaluate how we look at people and how bad it is when you look down on someone, when you consider yourself to be better than them. He gives us a little more direction when he says in verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest. It's not that your interests aren't important. It's not that you would neglect your interest. You need to look out for your own interest. You need diligence. All of the things Proverbs tells us about having a well-rounded, solid life we want to put in to our lives. Look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interests of others. And that's what Christ did. When he came and gave his life for us, he put away selfish ambition. He had no selfish ambition. He didn't do anything that he did out of pride. And he put other people's interest above his own, that he went to the cross and suffered. And when we do these things, these three things, we are never more like Christ. Now, certainly there's more to being like Christ than just these. But if this is all we ever master, we'll end up being a lot more like Jesus in the end than we could possibly even imagine. If we say, you know what, I'm going to live 2 Philippians. Now, this next section that's on here, I don't want to dive into. This is an in-depth study in the book of Philippians. So we're diving into each, you know, passage, but I want to read it because this is the example. So what Paul did here was give us four truths and then tell us how we're supposed to live and then shows us how Jesus was like this. So that's this next section. He shows us how Jesus didn't have selfish ambition, didn't have conceit, and was putting other people's interest above his own. So he says in verse 5, and I'm going to try to read this without much comment, maybe a little bit, but we'll cover it next Wednesday, Lord willing. This is where we'll be at. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now we'll get into that next week of the things Jesus said in his earthly ministry about him and the Father being one, and about how he is subservient to the Father in the Godhead, but he is equal to the Father. So these are details we'll cover next week. And we'll talk some about deity and the interaction of the Trinity out of this passage. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. How did he make sure he not have selfish ambition, conceit, or put other people's interest above his own? Number one, he made himself of no reputation. We are the defenders of our reputation. Now, again, this is natural. It's just natural. So I have a friend of mine who's a pastor, and he told me that he said something about me from the pulpit. And my response to him was, I'm being slandered, because that's not true. What you said to your congregation from the pulpit is not true. I was a defender of my reputation. I was like, and he said, oh, he laughed, ha, 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 and he went on. And I was like, I don't like that. Because we want to defend our reputation. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, which is a servant by choice, okay? That's what a bond servant is, servant by choice, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. So Jesus has this high status. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords, but he took on the form of a bond servant. And whatever gifts you may have, whatever skills you may have, you take on the form of a bondservant. You say, Lord, I want to be able to serve people by choice, not because I have to, but because I choose to. And coming in the likeness of men, of all things, coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and came obedient even to the point of death. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that he despised the shame, but he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He humbled himself in allowing himself to be beaten, stripped, and crucified. And even the death of the cross is what it says here at the end of verse 8, that he humbled himself in obedience to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. So just like when we have a promise that we humble ourselves, then we will be exalted. Jesus was in the position, humbled himself, and then God replaced him into that position. And we'll see that. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, giving him a name that is above every name. Well, you say, well, wasn't he the creator of the universe before that? Wasn't he part of the Godhead before that? Yeah, but he didn't have the name Jesus before that, or Joshua or Yeshua in Hebrew. And so now look at this, that the name of Jesus, that's his human name, the name given to him here on earth, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth. So before Jesus came, he was worthy of our praise. He was worthy of us bowing before him. He was worthy of all of the surrender that was given to him. But after he came, it's at the name of Jesus. That name, becoming a man, becoming humble, it's the actual name of Jesus that God uses to get people saved. There is no other name given, the Bible says, among men that people can be saved except the name Jesus Christ. That is the name we call on. Think of Jesus humbling himself now and James telling us that demons tremble at the name of Jesus. When you speak the name that he took when he became a human, demons tremble. So God exalts him to the point, and it says, and at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And what a tragedy that those under the earth will bow the knee and know that he is the Savior at that point. Knowing who he is, bow the knee. So when we do those three things, we become like our example, which is Jesus, which he gives following it. May we genuinely examine and ourselves in selfish ambition, conceit and pride, and whether or not we genuinely put other people's interest above our own interest. And in doing so, we become like him, and God is honored and blessed. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the passage that we're able to cover here today and the incredible truth that we find in it, that you give us encouragement, that we have this fellowship with the Spirit, and that you call us to put away selfish ambition, pride, and our own interest, living for our own interest alone. And forgive us when we do. Help us to really be like Christ as we take these things into our lives and endeavor to do what the Bible says and to walk as Jesus walked. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. If you're here today and you have never received Jesus, you've never invited him in, Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Your spirit has to be quickened and brought to life. When Adam and Eve ate that fruit, God had told them, in the day you eat it, you will die. They didn't die physically on the day that started, but they died spiritually on that day. That's spiritual death. And men are born spiritually dead. And when you are born again or born from above, your spirit is brought to life. A couple of things happen. Number one, Jesus died on the cross so your sins could be forgiven. And that was foretold in the Old Testament in several places. It isn't something somebody came up with afterwards, but God wants to remove your sin, your guilt, your shame. He wants to remove it all. As far as the East is from the West, the Bible says, God places it behind his back and remembers it no more. What an amazing thing that God wants to take away all of that. In the Old Testament, there was a picture of taking away a filthy robe off the high priest and putting on a clean robe, and Satan accusing in the midst of all of that. God takes away our filthy robe and he puts on a clean robe. Literally, you become innocent when you enter into the kingdom of God, which is just such an amazing thing. And so if you're here today and you want to invite him in, and that's what it takes you inviting him in, you have to somehow say to him, I want to live for you. You have to repent, and repent is actually doing it, is actually saying, I'm going to stop living for myself and I'm going to live for him. And I don't know that a repentance always has to have that deliberate aspect before it. It's just a matter of doing it. We repent when we decide I'm done with that and I'm now going to live this way, and we do it. And so if you're here today and you want to invite Christ into your life and begin to live for him, I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Right where you are, just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now. You're saying, I want Christ in my life. I want to live for him. I want to find that forgiveness that he gave me. Just raise your hand now. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand and to pray for you. And if you're online, you don't need to necessarily raise your hand, but you can just respond and say, yes, I want Jesus in my life. If you're listening on the radio, same thing. I want Jesus in my life today. All right, God bless you. All right, for the sake of those who may be online, who have given their lives to Christ, I want us together to pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin separates me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven. by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. So welcome to the family of God. Thank you. Now, I don't know if any of you out there online gave your life to Christ, but if you did, then send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. Let us know your story, and we'll have someone who will respond to you. If you'd rather send us a text, text READY FOR JESUS to 94,000. That's our new believers card. You get back a link. That's our new believers card. Fill it out, and we'll have someone who will get in touch with you. I had someone ask me recently why I have everybody pray that prayer, and periodically I have people say that. Because they're like, I feel uncomfortable, especially at the part where we say, and I know my sin separates me from you, right? But the separation from God isn't from his love. It's fellowship. And that happens in our lives as Christians as well. It happens before we know God. It's our sin that separates us from God. He still loves them. While they were yet sinners, he demonstrated his love by dying for them. And so if we have sin in our lives, that breaks off the fellowship from God. And so when you pray that prayer, you can think, Lord, I want everything in between us out of the way so that we can have real, genuine fellowship, which is what God wants from us. Not a bad thing for us to pray it. Plus, I have to pray it every week. You have to, too. That's just the way that I figure. All right? So I want to pray for you. And I like to pray based on what we've been studying and looking at. And so that's not a difficult one now, right? Because we all need prayer, me included, that we would not be selfish, or that we would not have selfish ambition, that we wouldn't be prideful, and that we would put other people's interests above our own. And I'll make a commitment to pray this for you guys in the coming weeks, and you guys pray it for me so that we can walk in that way, all right? So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm gonna ask you men and women to lift your hands up, and I wanna pray for you. Father, what a great passage. What a powerful message from your word. And Lord, how we hear it so well, because we can so easily fall into selfish ambition, pride, and just seeking our own interest above everything. Forgive us for doing that. And Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your spirit, you would help us to walk in the spirit, and that we would walk humbly before you. Show us how we can humble ourselves before our God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself closer to Jesus than ever before. May you find yourself just deeply in love with him. And may God bless you and honor you as you serve him.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.